Well, thank you, everyone, for being here once again this morning. Thank you, everyone, for being here once again this morning. I'm really glad we could be together and worship like this. Even though we want to get back to the building and many other kinds of things, it is good to be together this morning. I want to talk with you this morning a bit about this reading from Leviticus. And I want to particularly focus on the verse that says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." It reminded me of an incident in seminary. My next-door neighbor, Mike Wallens, who's still good friends, he and his wife are still good friends of ours after all these years being in seminary. In fact, I saw him last fall. He was in this diocese visiting a church. He'd been invited to preach. So there he was, and we got to be together for lunch. It was great to see him. And I was reminded of this. One evening, he comes over to our apartment, and he says, "John, I have to preach on this verse, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" And now Mike was raised Jewish, and he came to Jesus later as an adult. And when he was raised in the synagogue and in various other ways, they had this repetition of saying, "For I, the Lord, am holy," or something like that. And he said, "I just can't get past that. I don't know what this verse is saying. I don't know what to do." Now, I have to admit to you, I didn't know what to do either. I had no idea what to tell him. I said, "Well, Mike," and I don't even remember what I said. Now, today, I think I might have an answer, which may not be helpful still, because I'm thinking, "Mike, this is your sermon. It's not my sermon." I would have said to Mike today, if he came over and said, "What am I going to say about this verse?" I would have said, "Well, I think you could say that holiness comes from God, and it's not something that we attain on our own." Now, that's a familiar idea to all of us and to you, I know, because we've applied that to many things in the Christian life. And it applies to this as well. And many people will have an idea that we must in some way or another earn holiness. You attend church enough, you read the Bible enough, you pray enough, you serve enough, you do the right thing enough, you be a nice person enough, and so forth, and you will become holy. Although usually with that train of thought, we never quite get there. It's unattainable. And so we're continually going, what else do I have to do to become holy? And really what it is, as you know, it's completely the other way around. It's not that we become holy by our own disciplines and our own actions. It's that God makes us holy. He makes us holy because he loves us. There's no checklist of things that we must do in order for holiness to be ours. We simply receive it. Now, that raises the question, I think, well, then what is holiness? And holiness, it's very simply this. It's the life of God flowing through our lives. Holiness it's the life of God. It's just the life flow of God. And it flows right into our lives. And what we do is receive it. And he wants us to have that because he does love us. That's simply what it is. And as you know, there's nothing that we can do to actually attain to the life of God, to measure up to the life of God. It's something that he needs to give to us. And that is what a covenant is. A covenant is where everything needed for the relationship and what happens among us is supplied by the one in the relationship who has all of the power. And God has all of the power. So he supplies to us everything we need. That's what a covenant is. And we barely have any remnants of covenants in our society today. fortunately for some of us, and Janice and Carl, we were at Matthew and Heather's wedding last Sunday. And that, the marriage covenant, is one of the remnants of a covenant today. And the taking of the vows, where God supplies what is needed to walk into those vows. It's not that any of us can quite measure up to that, as you know. So let's unpack this verse a little bit. Leviticus 19:2. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now I want you to notice what the verse does not say. It's right there in the readings that we sent out for this service today. It does not say, you must be holy. And it doesn't say, if you know what's good for you, you will be holy. And it doesn't say, you better be holy. It says, you shall be holy. You will become holy is what that means. Because I will make you holy. Which is what the Lord is getting at here. And then the rest of the reading and throughout Leviticus, the results of the life of God flowing into us and through us is what's outlined, summed up in that one phrase at the end of the reading today, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The implication is that takes the holiness of God, the life of God, flowing into our lives to be able to accomplish that. And in fact, we can accomplish it because of that life of God flowing into us. There's something that comes from God which is outside of us that now comes within us. And that is the life that only comes from God. The life force, if you like, or the spirit. It is the life of the Spirit of God flowing into and through our spirits. You may recall Jesus said at one point, for he who believes, flowing from out of that person will be streams of living water. And that's water of life. It flows from deep within our spirits, out through our souls and through our bodies into those around us. And that's what the holiness is about. It's that life flowing through us. And it comes to us from God freely. Well, that's the first half of the verse. You shall be holy. The second half says, for I am holy. So we become holy because of receiving holiness from God. We are able to do what God asks us to do because we receive holiness from God. We can do things like love our neighbor as ourselves because God has poured his life into us, poured holiness into us. We can go beyond personal prayer into open action towards others because God has poured holiness into us. All the things that we see in the scriptures that we understand are things that we would be doing to live a Christian life are things that God supplies to us by pouring holiness into us, pouring the life of the Spirit into us. So the flip side of that is to love your neighbor as yourself is to walk in holiness. You know, how does God see your neighbor? You can receive that very same insight from God. And as you act on that and relate to your neighbor on that in that way, you are actually walking in holiness because that impetus and that power comes from the holiness of God. Very different kind of thing than thinking, well, I pray so many times a day, I fast so many times a week, I read the scriptures and memorize them in this manner, things like that. Then there's nothing unholy about that, of course. But holiness is much wider than those disciplines. It's the way we relate to each other and the way we carry out what God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. How does God then, for example, see the relationships and situations that you are in? You receive the same insight that God has into those. That's the life of God flowing into you. And as you approach those situations and approach those relationships from the standpoint of the life of God you are receiving, you are then walking in holiness. Which is something the Psalms say, to walk in holiness and righteousness all our days. We can do that because God supplies that holiness to us. So how do you do it? How do you get to that place where the life of God is flowing through you? The simple part is you simply receive it. And you can begin receiving it, if you like, by praying, Lord, let your holiness come upon me. Let your life flow through me. Let the living water flow from me. Just asking things like that. When you're prompted to do that, that's the Spirit of God prompting you to make that request. That's God speaking to you, if you will. And then you just act on it as it seems the right way to go. Now, what you can do to have a little more confidence is if you feel God is giving you something, prompting you to ask for something, and then you see maybe this is the step to take, is check that out with another Christian, a Christian that you trust. You can say, I asked God for this, and this seems to be the prompting that I have. What do you think? How does that sound to you? And that can be a very, very helpful thing to do. And maybe you don't jump right into some step, but you go deeper into what God is saying. And you might not be as quick to put it aside as if you stepped into it and say, oh, that didn't work. It's the way that the holiness goes deeper and richer into our lives. So you ask God for that to come to you. You begin checking, what am I receiving? You share that with another Christian and ask for their encouragement, and then act on it. That's walking in holiness. And we can do that because you and I shall be holy, because the Lord our God is holy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your life flows into us. We thank you that we can be in the position because of what you've done to receive it. And we ask that even today, we